Welcome back to the Regional Radio Group Podcasting Network. I'm Seth Cooper, and it's another episode of Building Success Stories with Ann Donnelly of Playcentric Digital Marketing. And we're getting into the holiday season, and it's a big time. We have, you know, Thanksgiving right around the corner, Christmas, New Year's. We talked in the previous episode about digital marketing, and now it's taking your digital marketing and being able to get in front of the right people.
Yeah, it's really important when you're getting started. I think it's important even before you start thinking about marketing, when you're thinking about your business, you need to think about who is your audience. You know, who are you targeting, and making sure that you have a clear idea of that so that what you're selling to them, whether it's a product or a service of some sort, or even if, say, you're a nonprofit and you're looking for donors or you're serving a certain type of community, it's really important for you to understand thoroughly a lot of different aspects about that audience. So that's when I started with how to get in front of the right people. And I've created a system to do this, to identify your target audience. So whether you're starting a business, whether you're starting up with your marketing, it's important to go through and look at all these different aspects of your potential market. So I've used, just to make it like sort of easy for people to remember, who, what, where, when, why, and how. So today we're going to talk about the who. So generally when you're starting up in business, and even some people that have been in business for a while, they think you want to target everybody. Like, I want as many sales as possible. I can sell to everybody. And many times that is the case, and you can sell to everybody, but your message, your marketing message, and if you want to influence people, it has to be very specific to that audience. So that's why it's important to look at it. So you can target overall a wide range of people, but you need to break them down into segments. And we talked about that a little bit in the last segment of this podcast. So you'd look at what is common to that group of people so that your message can be specific, but and also which of your product services offerings are suitable for that segment. So we start out looking at the who. So there, the different aspects that you look at would be the different demographics. So very commonly you would look at age, where they live. What is their income bracket? What's their education background? Look at all the possible aspects that you could think of it. Those that are relevant to your business, but even those that aren't relevant to your business, because that's going to help you identify the different needs that they have and different ways that you can engage with them. So again, age, income bracket. Are they married? Do they have children? Where do they live? What industry are they in? And again, like I said, some of these will be more specific to what you're offering them, and some of them will just guide you along the way. So like I use a tool that I've created to gather up this information. And so it's like got columns with those different demographic fields, say, of information, and then columns. So one segment, you go through it and you go all the way down and you look at it. But another thing you got to think about, I guess, before you get started with all this is, who is your ideal market? How do you identify that? One way I learned early on when I was in Ireland, my husband and I had an accountancy firm, and we belonged to an international network of accountancy firms. And they had some great training programs that we would do, like we'd have an annual conference somewhere around Europe. And one of the things they were talking about is sort of grading your current customers. So if you have current customers, this is a good thing to do just as a business practice, but it's also helps you in your marketing. So if you grade them on a basis of A, B, C, or D. So first you look at your A clients. Who are the clients that are a pleasure to work with? They pay on time. They don't question the value of what you do. So they're like happy with your rates. A lot of them would say like, I'd pay you more. Because these are people that are looking to grow, because then they're going to help you grow as well. So you're working together in partnership. So who are your A clients? Your B clients are those that are potentially A's. So maybe they're just starting out. Maybe they've had a few issues that maybe you could help them with to then bring them to being an A client. C clients are the ones you're just not sure. They might have potential. They're kind of good to keep working with. They may not be the ones that are the ones you really enjoy working with, but they're not troublesome. D are the troublesome ones. They're the ones that don't pay on time. They might be complaining about fees. They take up a lot of your time. They might even be difficult with you or the people that work with you, and you just really don't enjoy working with them, and you don't think they're going to go anywhere. It's not worth the trouble. They're the ones that you should fire. And some people are really afraid of firing clients, but it is actually the best thing for your business, and it's actually probably the best thing for them, especially if you have somebody that maybe you could refer them to. Maybe it's just not a good fit for you. Maybe you know somebody else in the industry that you're happy to pass things on to. So those are the D's. So they're the ones, and in time, you'll actually find it's easy and fun to fire those people. But I understand, it is good if you have somewhere that you can direct them on to.
I will say, you talk about the D's as far as in the clients that you may have. But what if somebody says, what if I just want to recommend clientele work? Where does that follow? And I would like to ask, because I know there's probably people are asking mm-hmm. these questions in their head while they're listening. Where does that fall off of? And when do I know the right time to potentially pass, work to my quote unquote competitors or other, people in the same market as me?
I think one of the things that a good business person does is understands that there's competition. Competition is healthy, and it shouldn't be like a negative aspect of business, because there is plenty of work to go around, believe me. Now, you might be in an extremely competitive industry, so healthy competition, I think that's an aspect of being a good business person, regardless of what type of business you're in and how competitive your industry is to get to know the people in your industry and make friends with them, because you're going to be running into them all the time, maybe in person, maybe just when it comes up in topics of conversation. They might be quoting on work that you're quoting on. They might be, if you're selling products, people are be making choices. Just be concerned that you are presenting yourself in the best way possible. And different businesses are better fits for some people than others. And so work with the people that are the best fit for you. That's a hard concept for a lot of people. I've run into this a few times early in my career, where I lived in Ireland. There was whale watching, and I didn't know there was whale watching in Ireland. And I was approached by someone that had a whale watching operation to do a website for him. Then another whale watch operator approached me to do a website for him, and he said that the first guy had recommended him. So I thought, no problem. And I did the two websites. And it really wasn't a problem, but at one point, the two business became very adversarial in some very, violent kind of ways. The one guy was just like, I don't know why. I think there's room for everybody. If they worked together to promote that West Cork was a great place to go whale watching, imagine how many more people they'd attract. But if all the operators are just infighting and not working together to market the region as a place to go whale watching, that hurts everybody. Like they say, a rising tide raises all ships. Some industries, that's not as much of an equivalent, but I think in tourism, it's definitely a factor that people with similar businesses in the same region really do need to work together to promote the region. But in more, say, retail and things like that, you just have to look at, do what you do as good as you can, get the clients that are best suited for you. And then sometimes if someone's not suited for you, you can say, hey, Joe down the street does this and he does it this way, that would be such a good fit for you. That way everybody's happy. You don't have to feel as guilty about sending somebody away, but then they'll think of you because maybe then down the line, they will become more suited for you, or they may know somebody else. And they'll still remember that sort of generous act that you did and then bring people into you.
We were talking, in the previous episode, about my dad and owning his business. And, you mentioned kind of being friendly with all the different markets that you have. Well, my dad and another company were competitors, and then they ended up merging. So then he became a business partner. And once again, that's why it's super important to maintain that clientele and be friendly with your competition, because, sometimes a competition may come to you and say, hey, I need your help on this. Can you help me out? And then someone may say, oh, I remember talking to, John about the printing shirts, and he didn't want to even approach me or talk to me at an expo that we met at. So I'm going to look in a different way.
Yeah. And I always tell the story of how I came up with the name Playcentric was because of how well the Lake George region, and I know down here in Glens Falls, like the whole area, really worked together to get tourism going even during the lockdown, and that the larger hotels help the smaller accommodation people by helping provide sort of sanitary, hand sanitizers and toilet paper and paper towels and things that were needed that had supply chain issues. And so the bigger, the bigger brands that were like international brands were getting supplies in, and the smaller businesses had a harder time, but they all worked together. And then the chamber and the county and different businesses all worked together to promote the area, to keep it going. And some businesses had their best years ever when all of this craziness was going on. They had to really, really work their butts off. Because they were short of staff, because people couldn't travel and all that. But so for me, that sense of community is what inspired me to call my new business Playcentric a year ago when I did that. So back to who. So you're looking at who are your A clients. So start with your A clients. Pick at least one that you think is the best representative of that segment of your target audience. And look at all of their different demographic information, their interests, what clubs do they belong to, what industry sort of groups they might belong to. Do they go to the Y? Do they play pickleball? It seems like everyone's playing pickleball these days. And if you have common interests, that could be a good way to start getting to know, these people. And then you look at what other things about who, right? So I have a list of industry. What role do they have? Are they more senior? Or are they like someone that's just starting out in their work? Marital status, we discussed. Level of education, where they might have gone to school. Are they an Ivy League type person? What's their communication style? Is it someone that you need to be very formal, so the language you use would be very formal, or would it be someone that more casual language? So we're going to use these things across all of your digital marketing, all of your marketing, and probably a lot of other communications, like any communication that you're going to have with the outside world, because you're trying to attract these people in. Let's see what else we have here. What causes do they support? Are they leaders outside of their business? Do they hold leadership roles in other places? What awards and honors have they received? What connections do you have that may be influential to that segment of your audience? What other individuals would be influential? So that's important, in that you want to be, say, on social media especially, you want to be following those people and maybe try to engage them to help you get your message out. Because if they're influential to the people you want to influence, that can help give you a boost there.
And then I kind of guess, you know, the A clientele also doesn't necessarily mean, you know, who's your, not necessarily who's your big fish, because sometimes, yes, that is an A client, but not necessarily, you know, big corporations or who has, you know, the most money, that's not necessarily what an A client is. Maybe mm-hmm. those big corporations, honestly, some of them could be your B or your C or your D clients. Like the A clientele market is okay. You know, and sometimes, and as a business owner, I don't know if there's a guilt associated with this, but maybe if you need business, you might go to the A clientele and say, hey, are you looking for any orders? Do we need something that you can fulfill? And a lot of times too, what makes them kind of the A clientele is you also reaching out to them and saying, okay, I know you ordered 5,000 envelopes for your company. I know you're down to 200, 300 envelopes. You know, do you need to reorder them? Just staying on top and knowing, you know, having that good clientele, it just goes afar. And I know we'll touch on this in other episodes moving forward, but there's also a big fine line between having your business relationships and having business friendships as well.
Yeah, I mean, that can be a tricky territory. Like, we talked a little bit about, like, posting personal things in your social media and how that might influence people. And that is something you need to think about. Like, ideally, and very often, your target audience is going to be very much like you, because a lot of businesses, especially people that have started up their own businesses, it's based on something that they're passionate about and probably involved with. So if somebody, like, does custom car modifications, you know, they're probably into, you know, vintage cars and custom cars and, you know, those sorts of things. But sometimes, you know, a business is more businessy. So again, that's important to consider. Like, is your target audience going to not want to work with you because of certain aspects, you know? But then does that make them a good prospect for you? You know, it may not. So these are the decisions you need to make in your business. I mean, obviously there's other business factors that you need to look at, like how many sales do you need to make in order to make a profit? You know, so if you are being really specific, are you like cutting out too many people? And then you need to adjust your marketing that way. But so you go through all of this demographic information for each of the segments. So you may have one segment, like say you're a grocery store, right? So one segment could be moms with little kids, right? Because they're going to have certain needs and there's going to be certain things about them. You know, where do you contact them? We'll get into the where later. But you need this information so you know how to gather the rest of the information, how to deliver and when to deliver your message. And then another aspect could be senior citizens, right? There's going to be a whole other different kind of message. And because of the generational differences, your style of communication would be very different. And then there might be single men, you know, that are coming out to get the beer and the wings for, you know, to watch the football game. So if you look at the big brands, you'll see how they do this really well. And just because you're a small organization doesn't mean you can't do it as well. Because even if you can sell a lot better to a small audience, but get more customer, a bigger percentage of customers, if your message is very specific to them, than if you're trying to reach thousands and thousands of people with a message that is not specific and is not going to engage and sell to them. So that's how you should look at your numbers.
Do you think the who has kind of changed within the last 3 years, as far as in, you know, the way the economy's going and how things have just changed dramatically over the last, you know, three, we're almost getting into 4 years kind of since COVID's kind of happened?
Who's do change? They don't often change significantly, but it can change in, like, if we just look at, like, everyone talks about Gen Z and Gen X and millennials and, you know, baby boomers. Like, I'm on the young end of the baby boomer. Like, my year's like the last year of baby boomer. So you got to consider that also, that some people kind of overlap. But maybe you want those people that are like not your traditional types of people too. So that's on another scale. And there are certain things that happen. Say, you know, I'm not going to get political in this. Like, I definitely have my views, but I do like a good debate and I like talking to people about different issues, but this isn't the place for that. Maybe some other time. But what was that, 2016? That really did change people. I really think it made certain people to really think about like who they support, not just in that presidential election, but overall, and what businesses, and like people were coming out a lot more political. And if you were going to do that, you might be turning off some people, and you got to think about it. So it's things like that, more so like the pandemic did change people in some ways, and that like more people were staying at home. So that changes a lot of aspects there. Less people were traveling. People needed different motivations to do things and travel. Now it seems that, you know, people went back to traveling, but it slowed down a good bit this last season because people were finding money to be tight. Things were expensive. Things stayed expensive. So it was harder for people to find the money to do more leisure type things, but people still want to do it because the other thing that's changed WHO a lot is social media. Because everybody sees what everybody else is doing, and there's the whole FOMO, fear of missing out. And like I don't often use like different terms and cliches like that, but I'm a big FOMO person. I like to know everything that's going on. I like to try everything. But so that's a big thing now. So you do need to look at trends and see how that might be affecting your audience.
So social media, I mean, it does control kind of what people are looking at, right? I mean, they, you know, my friend might be in Colorado and, they might be doing all these things. And you say, well, I want to go to Colorado, and I don't want to miss out on that. So then I'm going to book a trip to Colorado and go from there. I mean, yeah, social media, I think, is continuing to evolve. And, I mean, I'm at the age now where I've seen social media evolve from, you know, you take a look at Facebook, you take a look at X, a.k.a. Twitter.
Yes.
It'll always be Twitter. You know, you take a look at the evolvement of Instagram and the things that they've changed. And, you know, we talked about this in episode one with the digital marketing. But when you take a look at the WHO, we'll kind of wrap the WHO part up. But we take a look at that. Sometimes that may take a day to figure out. Sometimes that might take a month. And sometimes that might even take a year to figure out who exactly your core audience is and who you're going to go back to and who you're going to keep doing business with, because it probably doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't. It does. It takes time to gather the information. Like, and some people might say, how do you get this information, right? That's going to be the logical next question. And so you look at who are your existing clients, like I said, and see who's a good example of that demographic. Like, even I have in my tool that I do with this, I took a picture of the person from their LinkedIn, you know, for each of the ones. So I have that person, I'm thinking of that. So I had read somewhere like Procter & Gamble or one of those big, you know, huge multinational corporations that have their fingers in lots of different pies. They would have a cutout, a cardboard cutout of the family that they consider their main target in the reception area of their main corporate headquarters, so that as people are going in and out, the staff, they see that, so that they have in mind, like, these are the people that we're serving. And that is important to do as well, because I think people get, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode, but people get too much into who they are as a business, and that, like, you should do work with me because I'm the best and I've been around a long time and I've won all these awards. and it's not about you, it's about your audience and who you're serving, you're going to work out better in the long run if you're doing that. Like, you might have lots of different accreditations and awards and things like that, which are good down the line, but to initially engage your audience, you've got to connect with them on their level.
Do you think it's hard for a business owner if their who changes? Like, I feel like as somebody gets older and they've run their business for so long, like, you know, I keep going back to my dad, but that's honestly, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up with, you know, my dad having an office in the home, still does, you know, clients coming in and out of the house, client, you know, UPS and FedEx always being by the front door. Like, mm-hmm. do you think business owners maybe, you know, struggle with the change of their who audience is going to be? I mean, some person might start their business out when they're 22 and now they're 66 and mm-hmm. still running their business as strong as ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's another important aspect as a business person is to forecast to the future. So that you're not kind of caught out with like, why am I doing this now? Or these people, I just don't connect with them anymore. So your audience may evolve with you. Or you may just find different ways that you want to engage with that audience. Or you might shift with your products. Like I had a friend that had a wedding invitation business. And they did a great job with their wedding, like custom wedding invitations. And you'd know a lot of people. Your mm-hmm. your dad may even do wedding invitations.
He used to, he stopped, but it just because the cost got too high. And his,
quality is important.
And his who changed.
This is what happens. Right. Is that because if you want to think of repeat business, because it's easier and your money and time is better spent keeping your customers and having them loyal customers with repeat business than getting new business in. But with wedding invitations, hopefully it's going to be a one-off, mm-hmm. right? So these people then got into baby announcements. So then it's looking at other ways that you can then continue to serve this audience when their needs change, right? So then the babies grow up. So then you could do general like invitations and things like that. So that's how your business evolves. So you might start with one great idea that's really specific and really niche. And so like doing just wedding invitations, it may only grow if you grow so that you can serve people nationally or internationally, right? Like that's how you'd scale a business like that if you're only going to do wedding invitations. But the other way to scale it is to get into other types of cards and invitations. And I think that could be similar to a lot of different businesses.
I feel like with the business owner, I feel like, all right, we did the wedding invitation. Now we're doing the baby announcement. Now we're doing they turned one. And then we're doing their 16th birthday. And then they have graduation. Like that, you know, you have that repetitive clientele, which is always there and always going to be good. And, you know, there were some businesses that, you know, that happened during COVID where obviously different states opened up at different times. Everyone had their restrictions with the governor. So, you know, a different state might have opened up their resorts and looked for different needs and, okay, well, somebody maybe from, you know, the Northeast, you know, came calling and said, hey, do you need my business just so that they could stay afloat and then also pick up some new clientele, which is important within the who. And then, you know, we'll get into the next episode of what do you have to do to kind of keep that clientele and what are your next steps per se?
Yeah, exactly. But the who being the most important, thus the first aspect to look at, so then you then know what other things to look at so that you can engage them, get in front of them, engage them, sell to them, keep them as clients, and turn it into a long-term partnership. So if you were interested in what you heard today and think that it might help you with your business and want to know how to find out more, go to playcentric.com. And while you're there, you can book an initial call with me. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you at least 3 ways that you can get more customers and increase sales to grow your business. And you might want to consider my new marketing strategy bootcamp, which is a day-long session with me. So give me a day. today and we can transform your business. So don't forget, go to playcentric.com. And if you're not going to book a call, sign up for my mailing list and you'll find out when each podcast episode is coming out and get some other really helpful information.